Welcome to Yak Babies, only podcast on the internet sponsored by Jeepers Crappers, the Show Me Toilet. I am Aaron here, the personal pals, Dave.
Hey, boys.
Brick.
Hello, boys.
And we have Old Irish Deco calling from Old Ireland.
Hello, boys.
Yes, we are all old boys. Folks, Yak Babies is nothing if not topical, and this time we are on the cutting edge of this week-old story, which will probably be older by the time this episode comes out.
Here in April. Yeah.
Came out a couple days ago. The estate of Dr. Seuss decided to pull six of Dr. Seuss's books from circulation due to offensive racial content, some caricatures. Their books, like, I think, Decide on Mulberry Street and If I Ran the Zoo, the most popular ones, or like maybe the most like famous ones that were pulled. A couple others that are, to me, less. I had never read McElgott's Pool.
I had never heard of them.
Yeah, I'd seen One Beyond Zebra, or sorry, On Beyond Zebra, never read it. This, of course, became a storm, which is our, I don't know, weird political media landscape where all of a sudden conservatives were mad about cancel culture because how dare they cancel Dr. Seuss, which wasn't really happening. And they started buying Dr. Seuss books, and now there's like 40 of them in the top 50 best-selling books, and people are like posting Dr. Seuss books on their Instagrams. They like, this is how we fight back the liberals, like by buying Dr. Seuss books.
Owning the libs by buying Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, the whole thing seems very strange, but
stupid.
Even beyond the, I mean, yeah, totally stupid. But more interesting to me, I guess, is the question of, what did you make of this decision to sort of take these six books out of circulation? Is it the right choice? Is this an overreach?
Maybe it was calculated.
I think it's the right choice. So, I mean, there's similar conversations that have come up around Huck Finn 1,000 times. And this is different than Huck Finn for a few reasons. Hmm. One, most Dr. Seuss books are read by children who are just learning how to read. Mm-hmm. And being exposed to some super racist shit like bone in your nose Africans and stuff that are in these books before they have the context or the learning. Like, you can't put a preface before that, you know?
Right.
I don't think the originals should be burned and gone forever. These are the kind of things, you know, when people complain about, like, oh, you're burning heritage and blah, 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 Dr. Seuss. Like, they should still exist, but they should exist in context, right? So buy your toddler Green Eggs and Ham. But if you want to, you know, make the complete works of Dr. Seuss, annotated, whatever, and put those things in there with context, that's how you do it responsibly. Mm. And, you know, cancel culture is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But, I mean, this isn't that. This is the owners of the estate choosing to do that to maintain his legacy. And not only that, like, him in particular is a pretty perfect example of this, because he himself, like, in his lifetime, maybe before a lot of people did, sort of owned his shit.
Right.
Right? So, like, Dr. Seuss kind of famously, you know, he wrote some pretty horrible political cartoons and like pro-eugenic stuff and everything else. And later in life, he owned that a little bit. He apologized for it. He removed some things that, you know, I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but supposedly Horton Hears a Who was written as an apology to a Jewish friend of his.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, he did what you're supposed to do, which is not get, you know, not be a Ted Cruz, and instead of just owning an easy criticism and then just lying constantly because you can't for one second admit any sort of culpability or wrongness, you know, own it and face it and spend some of your gifts and effort trying to make it better. And it's not wrong for the estate to do that, because taken out of context, if you just hand a kid Green Eggs and Ham and then whatever the thing is with the Eskimos in it, when it's divorced of that context, it undoes all that work that he did to do things right.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it seems like, I mean, like you said earlier, the books that were taken out of circulation or publication or whatever aren't ones that are, I feel like, are being commonly read anyway. So it's not like, so when the hubbub was all about, oh, what, we can't read Green Eggs and Ham now? It's like, no, of course you can. Like, that's still, no one's not publishing Green Eggs and Ham. It's just these rather obscure. I mean, I had Mulberry Street when I was a kid and I grew up fine. Look at me. But
those are also, for the most part, like completely disingenuous arguments, and everyone knows that.
I don't know if everyone knows that. I think that some people know that.
I think the people who start,
yeah,
the people who start that snowball of negative nonsense and cancel culture this and all that, like the politicians and the news people, they know damn well that that's a false equivalence. But they also know that their only shot of is just constant outrage.
Right.
Right. Call people snowflakes and then whine about the dumbest things is just their thing, because it works. And they do it over and over and over and over again. Convince people that vaccines are fake because, while at the same time get your own fucking shot, right? They were first in line, but now they're complaining about it, right? And right. that's the only way that kind of just kind of badness is able to continue to propagate.
Right, and it's a good distraction too from the other shit that's going on that they don't want to report on, like, for example, Republicans all voting against COVID relief.
Right.
So let's you know, inflate this other thing instead and focus on that so nobody pays attention. Nobody on this side pays attention to what's really happening.
Right.
Yep. It's sad.
Dave mentioned earlier in passing, but I think it's a good point, was that this also, I mean, I don't know if this was a calculated move, but there is that thing of, like, once these, as soon as the outrage emerges or surfaces, all of a sudden the sales go off these things, right? So if you announce, like, oh, we're going to take, you know, whatever, some movie off of HBO Max, whatever, all of a sudden people are going to subscribe and, like, no, we have to watch this movie and, like, I would buy the DVD. And it's like, it's a good way to gin up sales of your thing.
Yeah, to my understanding, they didn't do this based on any kind of public outrage. It's like they invented it themselves pretty much, right? Wasn't like, oh, in response to in response to this outcry, we're going to pull these books. It's like, hey, by the way, we found these 6 books. Yeah. In our estate.
Yeah.
It sounds like the way they described it was they started, it's been like, they said it took a year to decide, it kind of came after George Floyd is when they were, and it just took them that long to kind of decide. Like, I imagine if your income comes from owning the Seuss estate, it's probably not an easy decision to just take books out of circulation, even if they're problematic. I don't know. I haven't done a lot of research, but I didn't get the sense from this that this is a move by the Seuss estate to gin up sales.
No. I don't think it is either. But you could do that, right? It's like, Jamel Boo was talking about it on Twitter the other day, that, like, it's like a decent business model. If you wanted to, like, try and, like, attract some sales or some attention to one of your products, kind of more bun, just announce it's problematic. And
does your super expensive pillow suck?
Right, try and get something, you know, like say something's canceled and people will protest it by buying it. Like with, I don't know, like all that weird stuff with the Keurig.
The toaster ovens, remember that?
Yeah, just weird consumer choices based on, like, political fandom essentially has this weird, like, stock effect.
Do you guys ever watch that Kimmy Schmidt show?
I watched a couple episodes of it.
There was one where it was about the Redskins. Mm-hmm. They noticed that the people burning the jerseys were spending more money on jerseys than the people who wear them for life or whatever. So then she was trying to convince, or one of the characters was trying to convince them, you know, Schneider, to change the name to, like, the fucking, like, gun haters or whatever.
Yeah, so I think you're right. This was a lot of companies or other sort of organizations seem to be doing this kind of, like, introspection, at least some degree of it, in the wake of the summer's protests and so forth. So it just seems like a natural outgrowth of that, but it became a popular cause because it's, I don't know, this, like, weird notion that we're taking away culture from future generations by, I don't know.
There's a willingness, in a super ironic way, not to get too mad at Republicans, but also they're evil fascists at this point, to again knowingly conflate or muddy the waters of what censorship and free speech are, right? Because have for a long time kind of championed that as, like, their thing, but now their only way to maintain control is to subvert that, right? So there's nothing censorship about not giving children racist images from the 20s. That's literally not what censorship is.
Yeah.
But to call it that is politically convenient. Kids, you know, I remember, you know, fucking Disney's racist as shit, right? That doesn't mean no one should ever watch Dumbo, right? I think it's not inappropriate to release here's a version that's appropriate for 5-year-olds and then also have a critical, like an unedited director's cut or whatever that does that. That's being socially responsible. That's not censorship, right? I remember and a Babar book, and it was super racist. Or my brother's favorite book when you were a kid was Brer Rabbit and a Tar Baby, and then we, like, picked it up off the bookshelf where it hadn't been seen in, you know, 10 years when we were teenagers. We're like, oh, this is super racist. And or another one was New Hampshire. He had this other book called Little Black Sambo.
Yeah, Sambo.
His name was Sam.
Sambo. Yeah.
Yeah, and little fucking kid ate so many pancakes the tigers ate him or whatever. Super racist. Mm-hmm. Another book that we just had and, like, didn't.
Yeah.
If you want things to get better, you have to address those things, right? And that doesn't mean you're a bad person, right? You can confront your white privilege or whatever your privilege is without consigning yourself to hell, right? It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to admit that you or your parents or your grandparents or your ancestors did some shitty things, right? And that you don't need to just perpetuate that out of some kind of fucked up pride or some sort of need to continue to prove that Manifest Destiny was a good idea, right? It's just, it is what it right. is. We can't change the past. We can make sure that the future's not repeated. That doesn't mean I'm going to give all my money to poor people and live homelessly because that's the only way to be penitent. What it does mean is that I can live a life that's more appropriate and I can thoughtfully make decisions that's actually for the better of everybody and not just based around money.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. And it's, if we take away the layer that's like a very disingenuous, just like politically motivated thing, like the other angle is what you're talking about is that the inability to just like admit that maybe things from your childhood weren't great and to be okay with that, right?
Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, sometimes there was some racist shit going on in cartoons that I loved and still do love, but like I can acknowledge that. I'd be like, yeah, it's not good.
It just needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah, like now DVDs of like Tom and Jerry and the Flintstones have these little sort of intro bits that's like, hey, there's like some insensitive shit in here, like the times were different, this is not something that anyone would sort of want to support now, but here's what the cartoons looked like back then.
Well, so that's also what's going hand in hand with this, because right at the same time as the Dr. Seuss thing was they put that disclaimer on the Muppet Show,
right? Yeah, which I think is, I think it's
appropriate.
What was that about?
You could still, there's just some old episodes of the Muppet Show on the Disney whatever app, there's just a thing that says this was from a different place in time, like some of these things are not, just like think twice before you press play for your kids is basically
what is it a commentary on though, or a reaction to?
I haven't watched
like what within the show. Oh, okay.
I imagine it was some racially insensitive stuff from the 70s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe misogynistic. I don't know. I haven't watched it.
What's interesting, or what I'm curious, so these things are catching up from the, not distant past, but like the 70s is still recent-ish, but still, it's like kind of, you know, further away. I wonder, I mean, the 90s stuff is just as problematic in different ways. Like, I was watching Bill and Ted's recently, and they use the F word slur when they like they hug each other and they have to see each other and they pull back and go like and it's like, wow, Bill and Ted's, and that's still FAG.
Oh, okay,
that's still floating around. So it's like, I don't know, so I'm curious to see when it catches up to other things too, or if it ever will.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, then you get out of the whole PC culture, blah blah blah, and like the point is not to erase everything and like get into the false equivalencies with 1984, which we're going to talk about sometime, because it's not the same, right? But
right.
The point is to acknowledge it. Right? You don't have to re-release every movie with those words taken out. And that's where it gets towards the Huck Finn thing, which was different. But also, they're like, oh, it's got the N-word. We can't say the N-word, so the book shouldn't be in the library. It's like, that's the wrong answer that doesn't involve accountability. The whole point of that book was shit was racist. Like, that's like,
right.
You know? So, I don't know. I get mad about this stuff.
Do you see that story, speaking of the guy from the Lowell school board, I think it was school board, who had to resign last week because he was like asking why he couldn't say the N-word and like, but like said it like a billion times or something like that. Like some debate about whether you should be allowed to say the N-word or not, because like rappers can say it. It's like this old dude from the like city school council, whatever. It's pretty funny.
Oh, stale argument. Jesus.
Yeah.
I thought we'd put that to bed.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of it is just people don't want to feel like they can't. It's the same with like the assholes that say the masks are muzzling. You know, there's you only need a mask because it's a way to control you. It's like, shut the fuck up. You know, like, even if you don't believe in it, it's just, you're fine, right? You can handle it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, yeah. It has nothing to do with actually wearing the thing. It has to do with just some people feel, you know, they're entitled to do whatever they want, whenever they want, and not care about other people. And that's just not based in reality, right? You're where you are because of other people, whether you like it or not. Billionaires are billionaires because someone else built a fucking highway. You know, like, right. That's just how the world works. It's never going to be fair, ever. It's impossible, right? But what we can do is make an effort for all of us to at least give our own part to make equity something we care about, right? And then it's better for some people. And that's what it comes down to, you know? It's like, do you live your life to help other people and to make sure that the world is better as a place, or do you just care about you and fuck everybody else?
Yeah,
right.
And those kind of tiny things, I think, in a, you know, when asked, most people would say, well, of course I care about other people and I'm not selfish, but then they do those tiny things selfishly because they're allowed to get away with it and they live in these echo chambers of news cycles and whatever else that tells them they're right, but they're wrong.
Right. Listeners, do you care about others, or do you say fuck everybody else too? Tell us on Twitter at YakBabies and email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts on these topics. Also, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/YakBabies for access to our bonus show. It's a secret show that costs you $1 a month. You can get access to all of our fun and games there, bonus episodes, Bro to Bros, all sorts of fun
and things. Our original introduction to this episode as well.
Yeah, multiple bits farmed out of this episode have made their way onto Patreon for sure.
That's an open floor
plan. Yeah. We also have our merch. You can find the link to that on our Twitter. There's some really excellent shirts and mugs and so forth. Some designs that Brick has done that are really, really good. Check those out too. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, and William Howard Taft.